News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 8 o'clock hour. You certainly can text 251-343-0106, but also your opportunity to call if you like. We'd be happy to take your phone call. Again, 251-343-0106. Can we get to this latest Russian-Belarus kind of thing? Looks like they're going to launch. They got a lot of folks in Belarus now. And I know that we're also going to... Was it yesterday Biden did the kind of long interview?
Yeah, I think he may have filmed it earlier, but the CNN interview, because it's rare, you know.
It is.
It's like a an eclipse to see Biden with an interview. And he had one.
Unfiltered answering questions?
Yeah. Well, as unfiltered as it gets at that level.
Yeah.
And he talked with Jake Tapper on CNN. I think the way we described it earlier, he answered a lot of questions. But I'm not sure he answered very many questions. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talking, but substance there was, we'll let you decide. I'll play some of that audio.
Anyway, Russian troops are pouring into Belarus by the trainload. The news comes alongside an announcement from Belarusian, the president in Belarus, that Russian troops would return to the country, which neighbors both Russia and Ukraine. So you can see the strategy there. So it's going to be a staging ground, or it has been already, for their initial northern offensive into Ukraine in February, but mostly withdrew by late March. Since then, a few hundred Russian troops have stayed behind, mostly air and missile troops that use the close Russian ally as a launching pad for missile strikes into Ukraine, but that now appears to be changing. Russian soldiers are entering Belarus by the trainload. They're traveling in cattle cars, just a huge quantity, just waves of trains arriving. This is a source in Belarus told the Kyiv Post. In early October, photos on social media emerged showing Russian heavy artillery and also armored vehicles being moved into Belarus. So we'll see. That looks like they are priming themselves.
Yeah, today was day three of bombings from Russia into Ukraine. And the way they've been hitting so far west in Ukraine, there's people assuming, and maybe even some valid reports out there, that a lot of those were fired off from Belarus.
Right.
So a pretty crucial part there of the war in Russia. And that came up during Jake Tapper's long discussion with President Biden. It was broadcast yesterday, and probably, I guess, one of the most played clips or most dissected clips from that interview was Biden talking about Putin and how he feels Putin miscalculated by getting into this war the way that he did. And this comes after, remember, Biden just last week saying that we're closer to Armageddon, nuclear Armageddon, than we've been since the Bay of Pigs. Here was Biden talking about Putin miscalculating, in his words.
He is a rational actor who's miscalculated significantly. I think he thought, you may recall, I pointed out that they were going to invade, that all those 100,000 or more troops there, and no one believed that he was going to invade Ukraine. You listen to what he says. If you listen to the speech he made after, when that decision was being made, he talked about the whole idea of he was needed to be the leader of Russia that united all the Russian speakers. I mean, it's just, I just think it's irrational.
So if he's not rational and...
No, I didn't say he's not rational.
You said the speech is what's
I think the speech is...
Okay.
His objectives were not... I think he thought, Jake, I think he thought he's going to be welcome with open arms. That this has been the home of Mother Russia in Kyiv, and he was going to be welcomed. And I think he just totally miscalculated.
And while I don't agree with Biden very often, I think he's probably on point with that calculation, that I think Putin, at the very least, he thought this would be a quick battle, that he'd be able to hit Ukraine pretty hard and at least take some of that portion of the eastern country, and you've seen how things have gone since.
Yeah, and I've been also reading along where it seems to be, you know, he was encouraged by some of the people around him, like this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, there was no reason for him not to do it, so he had no idea that this was going to happen.
Yeah, and it's impossible to get a true poll out of Ukraine to see. I'd love to know. Obviously, we'd all love to strip away all the propaganda and just see what's left, right? Like what real thoughts are from the people that are over there. I wonder what the true percentage of Ukrainians, and it's probably a very big difference between Ukrainians that are in the eastern part of the country right. and those that are closer to the rest of Europe. But what percentage are, you know, would rather go ahead and be annexed by Russia rather than continue to see the shelling and the killings that they're seeing now? I just want to see some actual numbers, although I know that's we will never see that. And then another major part of the discussion that Tapper had with Biden was Saudi Arabia and these OPEC plus prices of oil.
Where plus Russia.
Yeah, and there was a report that came out that the Biden administration had basically begged the Saudis, along with the other members of that group, to wait until after the midterms to cut production. That way, we wouldn't see a rise in gas prices going into the midterms because that would be bad for the Democrats' election chances.
Yeah, and as your favorite show is, they sing at Daryl's house, No Can Do.
Yeah.
That was Saudi Arabia's answer, right?
Basically. Yeah. And then there were reports that came out, the Saudis, they don't want Biden in office, so they're doing this, or they don't want Biden to have as much power while in office, so they're doing this in order to give the Republicans a win in November. Biden talked about the Saudis and how America would react with possible penalties.
But we should, and I am in the process when the House and Senate gets back, there's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia.
What kind of consequences? Menendez says suspend all arms sales. Is that something you'd consider?
I'm not going to get into what I'd consider and what I have in mind, but there will be consequences.
So driving away, maybe at least one of our top two Middle Eastern quote unquote allies continue to drive them even further away than they were. Also, speaking about the recession, remember, midterms are on the way, and while it seems 99% of economists say we're in a recession or we'll soon be in one, Biden still says, yeah, if anything, it'll be slight.
Should the American people prepare for a recession?
No. Look, they've been saying this now how every 6 months they say this. Every 6 months they look down the next 6 months and see what's going to happen. It hadn't happened yet. It hadn't. There's no guarantee that they're going to be. I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it'll be a very slight recession. That is, we'll move down slightly.
So, not willing to give it up there and say, yeah, we're in a recession or we will soon be in one. But what do those, you know, 99% of economists know?
Well, wasn't Bank of America's
Bank of America
statement to their to their customers and clients on Friday, I believe. Called for it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And even in the fourth quarter of this year, we may start to see something. And next year looks kind of disastrous at the very beginning where we could lose 175,000 jobs per month.
Yeah.
In the early portion of 2023. That's sounds like a recession.
Yeah, and those are the reports, but Biden continuing to deny heading into midterms. Also, with 2024 on his mind, he was asked whether he could beat Trump again by Tapper. Here was Biden's answer.
One of the calculations that you think you're the only one who can beat Donald Trump?
I believe I can beat Donald Trump again.
All right, Mr. President, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know you're rooting for the Phillies.
That's a fact.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I forgot that I left that part in there. But yeah, Phillies fan as well. So if you're a Republican and a Braves fan, tough audio.
You've had enough of Biden for sure.
For sure. And then we'll leave it with this clip here. And remember, we're playing this so you don't have to watch the whole thing. You know, just get the main bits of that Biden interview with Tapper.
This is public service right
exactly.
here.
So Hunter Biden did come up in the conversation. And with the Republicans saying, hey, if we win the Congress, then we're going to investigate and see what was going on with Biden overseas, but also how he was able to lie and purchase that gun while saying he was not addicted to drugs, knowing full well he had at least a crack addiction, right? Biden was asked about that last night.
Our reporting, CNN's reporting and the Washington Post reporting suggests the prosecutors think they have enough to charge your son Hunter for tax crimes and a false statement about a gun purchase. Personally and politically, how do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I'm proud of my son. This is a kid who got, not a kid, he's a grown man. He got hooked on like many families have had happen, hooked on drugs. He's overcome that. He's established a new life. He is, I'm confident that he is, what he says and does are consistent with what happens. For example, he wrote a book about his problems and was straightforward about it. I'm proud of him. He came along and said, by the way, this thing about a gun, I didn't know anything about it, but turns out that when he made my application to purchase a gun, what happened was he said, I guess you get asked, I don't guess, you get asked the question, are you on drugs, you use drugs? He said no. And he wrote about saying no in right. his book. So I've got confidence in my son. I love him. And he's on a straight and narrow, and he has been for a couple of years now. And I'm just so proud of him.
So, like any good capitalist, you know, he basically became a promo for the Hunter Biden book there at the end. Like, if you want to read, if you want to learn more, read about
it. He seemed to exonerate his son of anything because he wrote about it in a book. What does yeah. What does that have to do with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, look, hey, did he buy the gun after lying? He wrote about it in a book.
Yeah. Well,
that's not the answer of the question.
And you know, as far as the crimes that have been alleged that Hunter Biden has done, and possibly how that links to his father, the president, the buying a gun while being addicted to crack is like the least of the charges, but mm-hmm. it's the one that they seem to be able to right. prove easiest.
Right.
But it's
closest to the goal line.
Exactly. But if they do start digging in and seeing, all right, well, who in China was paying them? And who around the rest of the world was paying the Biden family, and what exactly did they get in return?
Ukraine, right?
Yeah, that's the big question there. So a Biden interview on CNN. And those were the main points, I'd say.
Good job breaking that all down. How long was that interview?
It's a good question.
20 minutes, maybe, something like
seems
that.
Seems about right, okay. Yeah.
18 after 8 o'clock, Dan and Dalton here. Text line and phone line, 251-343-0106. We'd love to hear from you this morning on that or anything else you want to talk about. Well, it's over. It's come and gone. And that would be Fat Bear Week. So Fat Bear Week, people voted for their favorite or their fattest of fat bears, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And a brown bear, I guess known as 747. He tipped the scale. He tipped the scales around 1,400 pounds.
Woo.
He got 68,105 votes. I'm not exactly sure where all this voting is done online, but anyway. Fat Bear Week wraps up in, I didn't even know it was happening.
And
now it's over.
They crowned him, and then he immediately ate that crown.
And the person that came with it.
And the person. And imagine the NIL deals that are about to start rolling in for this fat 747 bear.
747, I guess that's his name. And he won overwhelmingly. People saw these photographs of fat bears, and he's the guy.
Sign him up, Charmin. Get him on the TV. By the way, have they actually tried that on a live bear?
I wouldn't. You know, just let him use leaves.
Yeah. Rub up against trees.
Or do they even care?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
No.
Anyway, Fat Bear Week has come and gone. 825 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5.
I bet the runner-up was pretty fat, too. In that
the runner-up was. I've had that information here somewhere. But yeah, the runner-up was no slouch.
Looking at the text line, a lot of texts about the Biden interview. First, I want to say thanks to Tony Ann, who brought by some baklava. Right?
Is yes.
that the correct term?
Well, I think that's one of the Greek pastries. The one that I know is baklava.
Greek treats she brought by because it's Greek week, right? Greek fest. And that starts tomorrow, I think, day one of
Thursday.
Greek fest.
Right.
And 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. On Sunday, more limited hours. It'll be from noon to 4 p.m. And they've got fantastic food, as they always do. This will be at the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church on South Ann Street. Again, starts tomorrow. Free admission. You do have to pay if you want to eat, though. So fantastic stuff there.
And look how the weather's going to be beautiful for Greek Fest right on through Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yep.
Thank you, Tony Ann. And also thank you for the work you do with Penelope House as well. You do a fantastic job for sure. We'll get into Tennessee Hate Week texts here in the next segment. So if you want to get those ready, we can do that. And
you're just bringing all this on yourself.
Kind of. Well, I love it. That's why I'm still a Tennessee Tennessee fan.
Yeah.
Born in Nashville. I've spent a whole lot more of my life at this point in Alabama than I have Tennessee. But when I moved down here at like the age of 8 or 9, mm-hmm. and everyone was asking, are you Alabama or Auburn? And I'd say, Tennessee. Just something in me loves that people hate Tennessee so mm-hmm. much around here. So I stuck with it. Through the thick and through much of the very, very thin over the last couple decades.
At 8 years old, did you tell Snake Stabler that you were a Tennessee fan? Because I had that happen to me. Joseph was a little boy and ran into Snake at a hotel downtown, and he greets us, hey, how's it going? Yeah, and Snake said to Joseph, Roll Tide. And Joseph said, I like Georgia. I was like, Joseph, don't say that. Anyway, he was good about it.
So we'll play some kind of like an 8 Mile where Rabbit, played by Eminem, starts dissing himself before the battle rapper he's up against can diss him. I'm going to play some Tennessee fan audio that is incredibly, incredibly embarrassing for me personally. But we'll get to that. Some of the text regarding the Biden interview. Grant with a he's got who's the – how am I completely skipping out on the comedian here who Grant sent a picture of? His name completely escapes me. Kids say the darnest things. Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Grant said that's what Biden sounds like during his interviews. Zippity bloopity jello pudding pop. Jason, regarding the Saudis and raising the price of oil by cutting their the amount of oil they're putting out there. He said, I support the penalty of burying the house of Saud. And, man, these are jumping around on me big time in American crude. Chris says Biden needs to go to the grocery store just once and tell me we're not in a recession. Yeah, those grocery store receipts, at least for my family, and I'm sure many of yours out there, a little heavier than they were over the last few years. Grant says technically Hunter had multiple crack addictions and that he is straight lying. Jason said you should ask the president if he understands how many poor folks are in prison on the same gun charges. Yeah, that's kind of like Kamala Harris coming out and saying that no one with minor weed charges should be in jail. It's like you put a bunch of people in California away on those charges, and now you're going to act like, you know.
Yeah, but all the poor people that are in jail over those charges, all they had to do was write a book.
Exactly. The answers are right there.
Yeah.
According
to the president of the United States spelled it out for us.
Yeah,
write a book. Get ahead of it.
That's the Biden rules, yeah. Right? Let's see. All right, Tennessee hate. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. More Tennessee hate.
I feel bad for you, but you're bringing it on. You're enjoying it.
I enjoy it, yeah. Maybe it's like, I don't know, because I've enjoyed it the last 15, 16 years, there's been nothing but pain there for Tennessee.
Exactly.
Fans.
So what is most people's pain is your pleasure. So this is a more deep-rooted issue than we... It's got more... It's deeper than Hate Week.
Yeah. I might not even... If Tennessee does win on Saturday...
You don't know how to act.
A part of me might even be sad, you know? Like, it's over. The bad years are officially over. Anyway.
As a Georgia fan, let me tell you, that's not the way you're going to feel. It is 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.
Yeah. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Getting to the many mean texts on the text line. 251-343-0106. We'll do that right after we talk Louis Ratta with McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Mean text. I wouldn't do none of that. How are y'all doing today?
We're great, and it's Bama Tennessee week. And
my God. I already know. You don't have to say anything else.
Exactly, right? So they're coming in this morning, and what they need to do is focus their energy instead of hating me. They need to go to McConnell. Check out what you have on the lot over there, because the selection is stellar, Louis.
That's right. From a dump truck to a little BMW, almost as a convertible. It's a little coupe. It looks beautiful. But we've got them, man. We got trucks. We got diesels. We got Yukons. We got AT4s. I mean, anything you want. We got Broncos. Shoot, Tommy bought two or three more Broncos. So we got a few of them sitting here. Got some Toyota Tacomas sitting here, GMC Sierras, Chevrolet Silverados, and, you know, those GM cars are certified. That gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty. It bumps that all-important powertrain up to 100,000 miles. So, y'all can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Tommy or Gene, 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
837, so you say a very talented Tennessee fan has has released a rap video.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him, and probably great for Hate Week. And Tennessee fans are aware that Alabama has this thing called Tennessee Hate Week, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know... Do they call it Alabama Hate Week up there? We've kind of buried it, right? In these last decade and a half, there's not a whole lot of talk about the rivalry on at least the Tennessee side.
You got to win a few.
Right. But those articles are already popping out this week. You know, last time Alabama lost to Tennessee, like the iPhone wasn't around. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift was like 14 or something like that.
Yeah.
So those always come out this week. But I thought I'd get ahead before we read into some of these texts with y'all absolutely trashing me on the text line. I thought I'd get ahead of it and play a pretty embarrassing bit of Tennessee audio first. And there's this rapper, if you want to call him that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to call him that, but I guess I just did. And his handle on TikTok, if you want to follow him, Andy VFL, which stands for Vol for Life, Andy VFL 423. And he has, in this particular rap leading into Alabama, he has a tattoo. He's probably, if I had to guess, he probably weighs around 90 pounds, this guy.
I thought you were going to go in the other direction.
No,
he was a biggin.
He's incredibly small. And on his chest, he has a humongo tattoo of Smokey, the mascot for Tennessee, except he's Smokey with a human-like body and completely jacked. Like a like Smokey could bench 450 or something like that.
That's a permanent tattoo on his chest.
I think so.
That is crazy.
So he made this rap video where he his intentions were to, you know, demean Alabama. He was like, it's over. Here's what it sounded like. Try to listen to the whole thing.
Hey, what's up, Vol Nation? So I thought I'd release a little sneak peek. Yeah, I got Smokey on my chest. After Saturday, then Bama fans will lay to rest. Now, let me release some of this heat. Hey, Bama fans, take a seat. Biffle Sag here with the do-rag in K-Town. It's about to go down in the 8-5. After this game, you will not survive. Bama, go ahead and retire while you alive. Tennessee about to drop the hammer on Bama. It will be like they were dragged to the slammer. Yeah, they awful at ugly Crimson. You should be locked up in a prison. Looks as dumb as Homer Simpson. That ugly fat elephant isn't really irrelevant. It took saving, giving away the Dodge Chargers, but in your mind, the real OG was the artful Dodger. Tundridge hauling way, Slade on the field like a beast. Now Hooker gonna annihilate, and you win the East because he's the real new OG of the SEC East. Hey, you know why? Cause we the real beast.
So many. Dalton, may I give you my?
Please, what's your take? If this were American Idol, what would your judge's decision be there?
Well, so Simon would be in some sort of coma right now.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what to say. You know, there's so many inventive rhymes in that thing.
Yeah.
Just a masterful job of rhyming things up.
Did you hear how he rhymed SEC East with Beast?
That's one of the ones that was astounding. This guy, you know, he's got the talent. He definitely has the look.
Yeah.
You know, 98 pounds and Smokey on his chest.
Yeah, he weighs the same amount as the last championship for Tennessee. 98. Exactly. The texts are amazing. And Jay Bird said, it's a no for me, big dog. In the style of Randy. Right? Joel says he vomited. Vomited outside of his window. Robert says, Dalton, please don't play that again. Randy says, surely your airtime is worth more than that. It is. It didn't stop me from playing it, did it?
No.
Tim says, I've wondered often why Nick Saban thinks he needs to dye his hair. Well, he's got the money, right? And let's see. Grant, a lot of texts from Grant. Walt, I'll get to that here in a second. Buck says, Dalton, what is the most common game played at a Tennessee family reunion? He says, the dating game.
That joke's about a million years old. It still hits.
Keith with a text, meme. I'm not allowed to read on the air, but thank you, Keith. That's fantastic. And let's see. Chris says, don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Grant with a meme with Richard Simmons here. Says UT fans be like, out of my way. We finally won a game.
You know, that Tennessee rapper raps like Tennessee plays football, man.
Mm.
I mean, he's 90 pounds. The tattoo's eight and a half pounds himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, the tattoo.
You should be proud. You should be proud.
I am.
Until Midday Mobile today, and I bring the real,
yeah, well,
the
you
real deal.
I said it's like 8 Mile when Eminem started dissing himself.
Yes.
Before
to take the ammunition away.
Exactly. So that was my intent.
We all do in our rap battles. We all do that.
It's unfair to you that we had the show earlier than you, so
yeah,
I was able to get ahead of it.
Yeah. No. He has the last at bat.
That's right.
That's a good point.
I mean, the closer on Friday at like 1:30. Get ready.
Yeah. I did. While you're in here, Sean, because I brought this up on Twitter. And we'll talk with Jeff Poor here in a minute about, you know, Alabama politics. But we do a bet every year.
Jeff is the Auburn guy. He's going, oh, y'all shut up.
Please be quiet. Yeah, don't talk about football. That's what Jeff wants us to do. What should our wager be this year? And I think we can do a straight-up wager. It doesn't need to be with points.
Yeah, straight-up.
Bama's been favored by like 30 the last 10 years. So I asked that on Twitter. Keith thinks that whoever loses should have to get a big window decal of the other team on their vehicle.
I saw that.
Whoa, that's a good one.
So you have the big script A on the back. Who buys it? Because, you know, that doesn't come cheap when you buy it. I mean, probably free with the Tennessee logo, but you're going to have to spend some money to get the script A full size for the back of your F-150.
That's a good point, the value on that one. Well, it'll go down if there's a loss on Saturday, the value of the script A.
No, but there's going to be a win, so when you have to go buy the script A to put on the back glass of your truck,
it's
already expensive.
The thing is, if we have to swap logos or shirts or anything like that, you'll catch a lot more flack around here than I would.
Yes.
Because,
it is true.
You know, just me having Bama stuff on.
Oh, if you're riding around with the script A on the back of your truck, you're going to feel like you're really loved. If I got to put some noxious orange tea on the back of my truck.
I did have a tea on the back of my truck when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And we all make mistakes, we're young.
It's all coming together now because I got pulled over a lot when I had that Tennessee tea on.
Rightfully so.
Many years ago, there was a guy, a real good friend, Ward Spratlin. He lived in Lincolnton, Georgia. Hated Georgia. He was a Tech fan. It made no sense. It was like he had no college education, but for whatever reason, hated Georgia. He sent his kids to Georgia, but he hated Georgia. I put a Georgia G on his front license.
Nice.
Like 2 months.
Didn't
he rode around in Lincolnton, Georgia for 2 months? The joke was on him because everybody knew one thing about Ward Spratlin. What was that?
That he's a Georgia fan.
He hated Georgia.
No, but they thought.
I mean, at that point.
Suddenly been converted, but they would have known better.
Well, then he didn't have... See, Dalton and I suspect stickers on the back of our trucks. We may or may not have waged that war over the years where we surreptitiously put stickers on the back of each other's trunks.
I think I remember something about this.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of that.
Okay.
But we know we basically are so... Our situational awareness of that is so strong that we walk circles around our truck before we get in and when we get out.
Because
we
do a sweep.
Yeah, we don't trust the other one.
Every time I sweep the truck.
Because that's because, once y'all know, there's grown-ups operating here at FM Talk 106.9.
They teach you that in traffic school, but it's to check your tires.
Yeah.
We're checking for some kind of sticker on the back of our truck.
A couple more of the wager ideas here. Ben thinks we need to have peeps involved. Also unfair, you hate peeps.
I hate peeps. I think they're the nastiest thing on planet Earth.
And Ben knows that, I think. But I could eat peeps all day long.
Yeah.
So also not fair. Yeah. Brock, I like this one. He says, if Tennessee wins, that you'll have to play Rocky Top as bumper music for a full week. And if Bama wins, then on the morning show, we'd have to play Dixieland Delight. He said, that's actually about Tennessee, but don't tell Sean.
Right.
And I think my answer to that, I love it, Brock, but we do want people to listen to this station.
Correct.
So,
I mean, you know, the liner that says Midday Mobile, the most listened to local talk show, you know, in our area, if I start bumping with Rocky Top. This won't happen. I'll be straight to, you know, straight to...
Legally, we'll have to stop playing the liner. Right.
And exactly. The numbers, Nielsen will call and say, well, there goes that.
Yeah, that's all a big lie. And then last one here, Twit Magnate says, the loser must wear a men's size medium T-shirt of the winner's team for all public appearances for a week.
Oh, medium.
You know what? If we do that, I will say this, gentlemen, lock your wives up. Okay?
Could get dangerous. In many ways.
Roll time.
There you go, Sean.
There you go. Tennessee Hate Week is... We're 3 days in, I guess we're in.
Yeah. Feeling it already. We'll see what Jeff thinks about all this.
Mm.
The Auburn fan in
town.
He's
got his own concerns. 847 FM Talk 106.5 Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings, and we will talk with Jeff Poore on the way. Seven away from 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Morning, y'all.
I think we have some tickets to give away before we talk with Jeff.
Ah, let's do that.
The show coming up Sunday night, Tab Benoit. Great music out of Louisiana. He's Emmy nominated, right? Or Grammy nominated.
Grammy nominated.
Grammy nominated. And he'll be playing along with the Dirty Dozen Brass Band at the Mobile Civic Center Theater. Sunday night, it's an 8 p.m. show. If you could buy tickets, and why wouldn't you? It's going to be an awesome show. Buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com. But we'll give a pair away right now. How about caller number 3?
Okay.
Tickets to see Tab Benoit and the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. Again, that show at the Mobile Civic Center Theater, Sunday night, 8 p.m. You can buy those tickets online, Ticketmaster.com. Caller number 3, 251-343-0106.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Jeff Poore on Mobile Mornings this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
So if folks aren't already signed up, Jeff, for the 1819 News newsletter, they should, because you guys have been doing some fantastic work, some investigative journalism, and a new story out this morning on the AEA and their involvement in elections. Talk a little bit about what you guys uncovered there.
So I'm old enough to remember when the AEA was the arch rival of the Alabama Republican Party. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it wasn't that long ago. Joe Reed, Paul Hubbard, they were the bad guys in Republican Party politics. So what has happened though? And Paul Hubbard, the late Paul Hubbard, no longer with the AEA, and Joe Reed's gone on to do other things. But they said, well, you know, there's this thing going on in Alabama. Republicans are becoming more the dominant party. And we need to adjust our tactics. Well, so suddenly they're giving money to Republicans. Now you could go back. The AEA is a liberal playground. They're for all of this, like empowering the teacher, mm-hmm. to teach the birds, and everything that a lot of conservatives have problems with the public education system.
Right,
and they've always been that way. And now, but now they're trying to ingratiate themselves with Republicans. I would say conservatives, but I don't know. We're quite there yet. But they have now given copious amounts of money to Republican members of the legislature. You would think, well, maybe a few here and there. No, almost 2-1 over Democrats. I know there's more Republicans in the Alabama legislature than Democrats. However, I mean, that is a 180 from what they used to be.
Jeff, my question is this. Is it more shocking that they're giving their money to the Republicans or that the Republicans are happily taking their money?
So that's the problem, right? The Alabama Republican Party, they have an unenforced bylaw that says, no, you can't take money from any NEA-affiliated organization, that being the AEA, obviously. It's just not enforced. And no one really takes it serious.
Wow.
So what do you think this means? I mean, probably at the top of the AEA list is opposing school choice. I guess that would be what I think. But you had a great conversation with outgoing state rep Andrew Sorrell, who will very likely be the next auditor. But he thinks that school choice will come up again in this next legislative session. What do you think this spending from the AEA has to do with that?
They're not going to support a full school choice bill, but they will support something in the name of school choice, I believe, because that's just where the politics lead them. Look, the AEA is doing what it's supposed to do. It is representing teachers. They are the teachers union, and they are doing what's in the best interest. And right now, the best interest is to at least look like you are a conservative, look like you are Republican friendly. You're not going to get anywhere by just bankrolling Democrats and Democrat candidates in these elections. You're just not. It's not going to get you the pay raises, the benefits, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, but they don't want to go full fledged school choice because it could, you know, it could embarrass some of their members. So they got to find something. They got to thread that needle just right to say, hey, look at us. We are for everything you guys believe. And then some.
Well, you know, to turn things around, sometimes it takes a little embarrassing of people. And we've tried spending all this money on the education system here. That has not worked. We're still at the bottom of the list. So if school choice eventually moves us up even to the midway point of rankings for the nation in education.
Then, we take that.
And then wouldn't these teachers be paid more because they're, you know, we would feel better about paying them a little bit more. We're not just paying them to be the worst teachers in the nation. I don't know.
I should be like full-fledged school choice, but I just don't know that is going to be the cure-all here. I think there's some deeper cultural things. I think the politics, as Andrew Breitbart, you say, is downstream from the culture. And there's something going on here in Alabama. I don't know there's always necessarily a government solution for everything.
Yeah, but I think we're faced with a lot of the same problems the whole Southeast is dealing with, or poorer states, or whatever you want. And yet we seem to outrank them all when it comes to being at the bottom.
Yeah, and that's a fair criticism. Is school choice going to be what fixes that? Is there something else? But I'm not saying don't try it. But what you got to understand in Alabama, guys, with school choice, some of these small towns around Alabama, their grandparents went to this school, their parents, their kids, and it's the Friday night. They all rally around the high school football team. It's a very, very important part of their local society.
They all like what they have. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll get you ready for your show here. Y'all text Jeff on the text line. Ask him what's going on Twitter. See if he'll tell you that story during the next 3 hours. Coming up,
constant story for Jeff.
On his show today, Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune, Dylan Smith from Yellowhammer News, and Phil Williams of Right Side Radio. Stay tuned for that.
Dan and Dalton back tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m. on FM Talk 106.5.